Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, it's Lean Keys, Real Talk, back with our UFC 271 preview show. This is about to be a good one. This is probably, I'm probably the most excited for this card. I'm really excited for this card. Like, you had 270, I wasn't really able to watch it. I still haven't seen those top three fights. I think they got them on ESPN Plus now, so I'll watch them soon, but I wasn't able to watch the last one. Even though I was excited for it. Then the previous card, you had the Oliveira card. I was pretty excited for that one, but I would argue I'm more excited for this one than I was for the Oliveira card in December. And I was pretty excited for that one, and it did deliver. But I think I'm more excited for this one than I was for that one. So for me personally, I think that's making a statement. But you know, I got the host of the show here. You know, I'm the co-host. I got the host of the show, Lee. How you doing, bro?
Oh, man, I'm good, man. Just excited to talk about this card, man. I think I'm more excited about this main event than I was excited about Oliveira versus Poirier. I'll say that.
Yeah, I mean, that was a hell of a card. So, like, looking at it, and then this is, you know, this is a pretty solid card. I don't even understand how, I mean, I accept it, but I'm still kind of confused as to, you know, UFC.com has the early prelims shown as a six-fight early prelims. I've never heard of that many fights being on an early prelims card. That's pretty wild, but, yep, UFC.com has six fights on the early prelims, so... Wow, that's you have that one. The prelims, I think, is five. Yeah, the four. The prelims is four. You have 10. So this is a 15 fight card, man. So that's wow. That's a big card, though. They usually, you know, 15. They don't always have a 15 fight card, but you know, either way, it's a solid card. We're gonna get into it, you know, here in a little bit. But there's some other things that I want to get to before we do all of that. And the first order of business is I want to talk about what Derek Brunson said. So Derek Brunson came, I think it was last night. I don't know where he wrote it. I don't know where it was. It was a tweet or it might've been a tweet. I'm not really sure where it was from, but I know it was, I think they reposted it, ESPN or the Mac Life, one of those promotions, you know, reposted it. And Terry Brunson basically said two more fights and he's done. You know, not just, you know, UFC, it sounds like he's done fighting. I mean, he wants to, you know, go spend more time with his family, and that's, you know, that's great, you know. But, I mean, he said, you know, he said win or lose on Saturday, you know, including this fight, you know, this would be one, and then the one after that would be his last fight. So, I mean, if you're Derek Brunson, yeah, as far as your position in saying that, I mean, the way I'm looking at this fight and the main event is pretty much like the winner of this fight would be the next for the belt. So I'm kind of looking at it like, I know that if my boy Rob Whitaker is to beat Adesanya in the rematch, I know everybody is going to say, oh, well, we got to have a trilogy now. I know everyone's going to say that. I'm not going to that place in my mind. I'm not thinking like that, you know, but I know that's what people tend to say. And, but the way I'm looking at it right now is that the winner of that Cannonier and Brunson fight would be the next one to fight for the title. So I think, you know, if I'm Derek Brunson, I'm probably thinking, you know, even though he's saying win, lose, or draw, I think he plans to win the fight, and he figures that win brings him to the title, and then he can fight for the title, and then, you know, win or lose in the title fight, retire there. So that's what I think his plan is, you know, where he's saying two fights. And overall, I definitely respect his decision. You know, I respect that decision a lot. I think that's great. You know, Lee said something really, really nice about that. I think it was earlier today I tagged him and he said, you know, we'd rather see, you know, these fighters go out on their own terms, you know, and rather see them walk away rather than being carried away, you know, and that's what Derek Brunson would be doing in this case, because, you know, if you ask me, Derek Brunson has evolved. He's looked, you know, he's been looking dominant. You know, I want to say his last three, four, if not, I think he's on a 5-5 win streak right now. I want to say he's on a 5-5 win streak, and he's looked very dominant and probably the best he's ever looked, honestly, in his career. So I think that's I respect that decision a lot. What do you think about it?
You know, Blonde Brunson has definitely been on a tear, man. I think ever since you nicknamed him Blonde Brunson, ever since he dyed his hair blonde, I don't think he lost a fight. But, you know, man, when it comes to our athletes, I'd rather them be gone. I'd rather them leave under their own power, under their own fruition, than being forced out of the game or forced out of the sport they love or the sport that allowed them to provide for their family. I just think that some of these guys, they tend to stay in the sport too long, and normally they punch drunk. They probably got head trauma, probably suffer injuries that, you know, that allow them not to be as effective they would like to be in a post-fight or post-sport career. So I think Derek Brunson saying this, I think he's looking at the big picture, that he wants to be able to have all his faculties about himself, you know, be able to do things as far as, like, run around with his kids, you know, maybe even coach his kids, stuff like that. So, like I tweeted, I can respect it, man. I'd rather see our athletes walk away than seeing them being carried away. You know, last week, you know, Tom Brady announced he was retiring. And, you know, a lot of people was like, why would he retire when, you know, he just led the league in passing yards and touchdowns. And the thing is, you know, like he said, it's time for him to give back to the people that have supported and sacrificed for him, for his career. And I think Doug Brunson is looking at it the same way.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I think it's, you know, you made that comparison. I think that's a great comparison, you know, definitely a valid comparison. And, you know, I like to see, you know, we like to see guys go out, and guys and girls go out on their own terms, go out in good health, or at least fairly good health, and especially go out on top. You know, I think that's great. You know, I don't, you know, a lot of people, you know, were mad at Khabib for retiring when he did, but I didn't really think there was anything wrong with that. I mean, he, of course, like, yeah, are there fights I would have liked to see him in? Absolutely, you know, but I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to say that wasn't a, you know, I think that was a good decision. You know, he goes, you know, any of these guys, they go out and, you know, they can do other things with their lives. You know, you don't have to, you know, be a fighter forever. You know, you fought, you know, a lot of these guys have fought, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 fights, 50 fights. Like, it's a lot, man. That's a lot on the body. And, you know, a lot of them achieved as much as they want to achieve, or made as much money as, you know, they're good. You know, they're at a place where, you know, they're good and their family's good. Like, go out, you know, when you're still, you know, before you end up breaking your body down, you know, and then you become punch drunk, you know, you become really chinny and you just start losing every fight. You know, we've seen that happen to guys, you know, for example, you know, Chuck Liddell. You know, Chuck Liddell was a guy that waited around way too long, you know, and you know, it's a shame to see things like that. You know, BJ Penn as well. BJ Penn, you know, waited around way too long. And I mean, it's kind of a shame on the UFC that they didn't step in and force those guys to retire earlier than they did. You know, force Chuck to, you can't fight, force BJ Penn, you can't fight. I mean, honestly, we might even, I hate to say it, but we might even be approaching, you know, that point with Frankie Edgar. You know, I think it might be time for the UFC to step in and say, Frankie, you have to retire, bro. Like, we can't allow you to fight anymore. Like, we can't offer you another contract. As much as we would like to, we can't allow it. You know, if you want to, you know, if you want to, you know, you definitely still work. You know what I mean? We definitely want to still work with you. We got a job for you. And you know that. Like, Frankie, you know, he knows a ton about the fight game. You know, I would be shocked if, you know, the UFC didn't turn around and say, come on, you're going to jump on, you know, get behind the commentary booth. We got a job for you right here. Boom. Now he's still in the game. You know, I think that's what a lot of fighters want. You know, they want to still feel like they're a part of the game. And, you know, that works out well for a lot of guys. You know, you see Rashad Evans was doing it for a while. DC is doing it now. I saw Rashad did go back over and take another fight, which I don't agree with. That's another guy that I feel like kind of waited around too long. He's still kind of waiting around too long. I liked him better, you know, on ESPN and doing what he was doing. But either way, it's great for Brunson. I love the decision. And I hope it works out for him, you know, in the sense of his career, you know, him saying two fights. You know, I truly believe that he wants those two fights to be, okay, this fight, you know, go in there, beat Cannon there, and then go win the title. You know, I think that's what he has on his mind. I mean, the title fight would be obviously win or lose. He's going to retire, but, I mean, ideally for him, you know, you go in there, win on Saturday, and then go win the title and then retire the champion. I think that would be, you know, ending Krim. I bet that's what is on his mind. So, yeah, 100% respect Derek Brunson, and I'm rooting for you on Saturday, bro. I'm definitely rooting for you.
Yeah, and I think another thing, if you've been on Twitter here lately, you know, a lot of people have been sending out well wishes to Ben Lieber. If you look at Ben Lieber, if you look at his last couple fights in the UFC, man, his fights was ended up with him, like, out cold. It wasn't like, you know, he was losing a tough decision. I mean, he was getting knocked unconscious, bro. And it's like now all those wars are taking their toll on him where, you know, his health is starting to deteriorate. So, you know, man, on with you with the Frankie Edgar thing. I think he's getting to that point now because, what, he's lost by knockout, what, his last 3-4 fights? And they, I mean, I know Sanhagen KO'd him. Marlon Vera just KO'd him. So, man, it's like it gets to a point where I know the UFC, y'all about business. You know, once again, your number one asset is your fighters. And that's your fighters during their fighting career. And they can also be an asset to your company when they're done fighting. There's a lot of things that athletes can bring to a company if they're no longer in the octagon. Man, you talked about this before. It's a lot of stuff these guys do outside of the octagon that we're not even aware of that the UFC could promote. One of the things that me and you talked about was when DJ was doing the thing on Twitch. I was like, what is Twitch? I never even heard of Twitch. But now, you know, I go on Twitch, man, follow DJs up there. I be watching little people on podcasts and stuff like that. And that was something that the UFC could have got behind before Twitch became really big time. So, but, you know, man, we just wish well for Derek Brunson. You know, wish for him to be safe coming out of this fight. Wish for him to be safe and healthy coming out of his last fight. And, you know, it was a great decision by him, I think.
Absolutely. And you know, the next thing that I want to get to is I think this is a totally relevant topic for our show. When I saw this, I started to laugh, man. It's funny because I just started to laugh again just thinking about it because I was like, man, this is a perfect topic for me and Lee to discuss on our show, and it comes out just in time for our show. Isn't that epic, man? That's absolutely epic. Perfect. Alex Volkanovski, so they were supposed to fight. He was supposed to fight Max Holloway. I forget when the original fight. I think the original fight was supposed to be on this March card that's coming up. But now I think it was supposed to be on the one that we have Covington and Masvidal as the main event for now. I think that was supposed to be Volcano and Holloway was supposed to be that main event. But then, you know, they got pushed back, and then you know, Max was hurt, and then Zombie came in. Now it's Volcano versus Zombie. So now, but then they came back because they never disclosed the injury. So Holloway's injury, it was an undisclosed injury. So we never knew what it was that had him, you know, pulling out of the fight. And then now it was like a couple weeks or however long, 3-4 weeks have gone by, I think, since they announced it. And now I guess Holloway has been cleared to start training again from the undisclosed injury, and now he's come out and said that he is interested in being the backup fighter for Volcano versus Zombie. And that was kind of just like, that was kind of like a mind fuck for me. Like, we don't really swear on this show, but I gotta say it because that was like the best word to put to it. That was really like confused me in my mind, because I'm like, wait a second, so Holloway was already in the fight, but then he pulled out of the fight. Now he wants to possibly get back in the fight, so he's offering to be the backup for his actual fight that Zombie took his place in. So, yeah, that really kind of – that was a tongue twister trying to explain that to myself. But so Volkanovski came out, and he tweets Max when after he offered it, and I'll read it out loud. He said, "At Blessed MMA. At Blessed MMA wants to be the backup fighter for the fight he was originally scheduled to fight. So, in other words, he was never injured. Just hoping he doesn't have to fight me or fight me while I'm preparing for someone. But hey, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying." And then he put a little laughing face, capital N-O. How do you feel about that, bro? What is Volkanovski trying to say with that tweet?
First of all, it's unprofessional to even question somebody faking an injury or, you know, accusing somebody of, if you ain't cheating, then you ain't trying. To me, first of all, Max Holloway has been probably one of the most active fighters in the UFC. If you go back and look at how many fights he done, I think one time, Keys, I think we said he fought what? 6 or 7 times in a year and a half, I want to say. So to even question him being injured, to me, is out of bounds. And secondly, according to Volkanovski, Max can't beat him. So if he is the backup, what you worried about? You said that he could never beat you, so what you worried about? Get in there and do what you done did. Although I think Max won the second fight, you know, people got their own opinions. I thought Max won the second fight. I thought Volkanovski definitely won the first fight. So, but I just think this add more fuel to the fire. And I think that when the next time they fight, I think Max puts the ass whooping on them, because I think Max is going to go in keeping what Volkanovski said in the back of his head, that, you know, that he faked the injury. So, man, everybody that know Max Holloway, man, that follow Max Holloway, that fans of the MMA, UFC, man, they know Max Holloway want to fake no injury, dog. And plus, why would he fake an injury to get out of a title fight? That don't even make sense. Why fake an injury to get out of a title fight? And what more can Volkanovski add to his game from the first two fights? So, man, get out of here, man. I just thought Volkanovski was out of pocket. I didn't like the insinuation of faking an injury. And then the last part, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Man, go ahead, dog. You can keep that. That's weak.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm really confused about that, the whole situation, because I'm still kind of like curious as to why we never heard what the injury was with Max Holloway, and I'm not insinuating that he's faking an injury. I'm just confused as to why they never said what it was. Like, I don't know why that was never public information. And then before we ever heard what it was, now he's cleared to fight. It just seems kind of weird. It's like, what kind of injury was this that you could, like, turn around in, like, 4 weeks and his doctor is now saying that he can start training again? I'm confused as to, like, I would like more information is all I'm trying to say. I'm not insinuating that he faked it. I don't see why Holloway would fake anything or duck anybody ever, because a guy made a point on Twitter earlier, and he said Holloway literally stepped in to fight Khabib with no training on like a day notice or something like that. Like, he was literally, I don't know how many days it was, but it was, he literally had no notice. He was like, I'll fight Khabib. And it was like, you know, he's game, bro. And like you said, he literally had, you know, he might have had 6 or 7 fights in that year and a half, but I know for a fact that he at least, and this is fact, you can, that off the top of my head, I know that he fought four, he participated in 4 title fights in 12 months. It was 4 title fights in 12 months. You know, he did the Frankie Edgar fight. He did the 155 fight with Poirier. He did the Volkanovski fight the first time, and he did the Ortega fight. So he did all 4 of those. Yeah, that was 4. Yeah, he did 3 145 fights, and he did 1 at 155 where he lost. And he went 2-2 in those, but he still had 4 title fights in 1 year. And it's like, no fighter is doing that. You know, no fighter is working at that pace. And against all high-level guys. It's not like, you know, he's taking 4 fights and he's not even in the top 15. Like, he's taking fights against, like, the best in the world at all those, you know, all those guys were, you know, top level, you know, challengers. So, he's not going to duck anybody. And it's just that seems way out. Like, that doesn't even seem like in the realm of possibility for what Max would even do. So I don't know why Volkanovski would have, like, what would have made him come out and say that. Maybe he just feels a little bit insecure about not knowing who his opponent will be, who his opponent will end up being, and maybe that's why he moved to say something like that, because maybe that's his own pressure kind of reflecting in that tweet. You know, that's probably one of like the main things that comes to my mind is, you know, that's his own pressure of not knowing what will end up happening and who he'll end up fighting coming out in that tweet. I don't really think that he really feels that way, but I think that's a solid thing to say if you were trying to stir up some drama and kind of, you know, get some publicity for either one of those fights. You know, he really put in a lot to, like, sell. I feel like he did a good amount to sell his Ortega fight, and I think if anything, that's a way to just stir the pot for either one of those fights, and him just not knowing who his opponent will be. I mean, but if I'm wrong, I could be wrong, and he could be dead serious, and he feels that way. And if so, I'm completely confused as to why he would think that, because he should know that Max Holloway is probably, you know, the most game fighter in the UFC. I mean, Jorge Masvidal's nickname is Game Bread, but I feel like Max Holloway is Game Bread, bro. That's the most game fighter right there. Like, that dude will fight anybody at any time. You know, like, who really has put in more work than Holloway has, you know, in the past, you know, 7-8 years of UFC? I mean, if you really go look at the numbers, how many times he's fought, the resume that he put together in that time, all the world title fights, all the, you know, top-level opponents that he fought in non-title fights, the amount of strikes landed, like, just the performances as a whole that he's put on, it's, like, so... If Volkanovski is serious about that, I'm really confused, because he should know better. but I also think it's possible that's just his own pressure of not knowing who he'll end up fighting coming out through a tweet, and he doesn't really feel that way. So
I think he really feel that way. I really believe he feel what he tweeted. And just in the wording alone, I mean, because when I read it, I was like, okay, all right. So I read it, you know, the first time I kind of skimmed through it, then I read it, and I was like, damn. So I read it one more time, and I was like, man, I think he really feels that way, Keith. But at the same time, it's like Vulcan. Okay, instead of you worried about Max Holloway, you should be worried about the guy you actually fight. But if Max is the backup, then Max is the backup. But if on the UFC, I think that's bad optics, like you said, for somebody that said they were injured, and then for them to come back and be ready in 4 weeks and, you know, to be the backup. I wouldn't do that if I was the UFC. That's just bad optics. I would just have somebody else. I wouldn't even have a backup. So, but, man, that's just like, man, that's kind of like pulling on Max Holloway card, man. And I just don't like it, bro. Even if Volkanovski felt that way, there's other ways to say it. I mean, you could have came out and been like, he could have tweeted, wow, Max healed fast, you know, glad to see you feeling okay, champ. You know, see you after my next fight. Something like that. And, you know, just left it as that. But the last part is the part that got me, man, that you ain't trying if you ain't cheating or if you, you know. I just didn't like that part. That part just rubbed me totally wrong.
Yeah, he didn't need to say that. That was kind of crazy. And as for me, who's, you know, at this point a fan of both guys, it's like, damn, like it is tough being on the fence with trying to not, you know, because Holloway fans, they all want to go at each other's necks. But I mean, it is tough because you have, you know, like you have like these, it's kind of like a lack of, you know, this is a lack of respect there, you know, and it's like, I would like to see, you know, I like when Volkanovski comes out and, you know, and he credits Max. I like to see, you know, when you're a fan of two guys, it's like, and they're going to be fighting each other a lot. It's like, you know, and your ideal mind, like you want to see the two of them show each other love, like, or some kind of like acknowledgement for their, you know, their level, you know, you want to see, it's some acknowledgement, even if they're still competitive, you just want to see, you know, some kind of, you know, camaraderie between the two of them. And you want to see some kind of respect. So it kind of sucks. You see little jabs like that, and it's like, he didn't even need to say that. You know what I mean? That's kind of crazy. He knows better, you know, as it's like, if you were trying to, you know, get into the UFC, like you were watching Max Holloway, you were going to go for the featherweight division. You were watching Holloway, you know, beat everybody in the featherweight division, you know, up to the point he fought for the title and then still beat everybody after that again. It's like, you know what he's about. Like, that's just kind of crazy. Like, if you're Volkanovski, you're not even signed to the UFC yet. Like, you're sitting there, all right, I'm going to be in the UFC 145 division. So, okay, you were watching Max Holloway. This is one of the best guys, if not the best guy. And you saw the work that he put in. You know, during that time, you weren't in the UFC yet. So, man, he knows better than that. That's why I don't even believe him. And even if he means it, I still don't believe him because I don't think he believes it. I don't think he believes himself saying that, is what I'm trying to say.
And then, Keith, I know this is like, it really doesn't go with what Volkanovski said, but Max is even a better guy outside the octagon, bro. So it ain't like we just defending the fighter Max Holloway. I feel like we defending the person Max Holloway. It's like, why even question that man integrity, dog? And that's the part that sits bad with me, bro. I ain't even talking about the fighter. I'm talking about the guy, Max Holloway, right now. You question that man's integrity. But, you know, hey, it is what it is. Volkanovski entitled to his opinion. Hey, it is what it is. We'll see what happens the next time they square up in the octagon.
All right. I mean, yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, what I'm thinking is that, you know, Zombie makes it to the fight, and a lot of people feel like Zombie's going to be the new champion, which I'm really confused as to where people are getting that from, because I feel like he's going to get dominated, and I just feel like that's a mismatch of a fight. I just don't think Zombie's that good, and I think people are kind of overrating him a little bit right now with all this hype saying, you know, I see so many pictures on Twitter of, like, people, like, photoshopping Korean Zombie with the belt, and it's like, bro, he's not gonna win, man. Just stop. Like, if you really been watching, like, I'm just confused as to how you think that. Like, I'm really lost as to how you came to that conclusion. If you really been watching the fight and you really do your homework, how is he gonna beat Volcano? That's the real question I have for you. Like, really, where are you coming up with that? Like, besides the, if you're just a fan of him, if you're just a big Zombie fan, I understand you want to see him win. But, like, if you're coming from, like, a more objective standpoint, I just, like, I need to understand how you think he's going to win, because where is he better than Volkanovski? Like, I just don't, you know, so I think Volkanovski is going to easily beat Zombie, and then Holloway is going to be in there. You know, that's going to be probably the next fight, and you'll probably have that one during the summer. You'll probably end up getting that probably International Fight Week. They'll probably try to do, you know, they love to put Usman. They seem to like putting Usman and Volkanovski and Holloway on the same card. You know, they like to have a Usman fight and a Volkanovski fight on the same card. I feel like they've done that once or twice already. And they'll probably try to do that. I think they're going to try to do Usman versus Edwards, too, for the International Fight Week. They'll probably have that, and then they'll probably try to do Volkanovski versus Holloway 3 as the co-main event, or vice versa. But either way, what are you thinking, man? You want to get into predictions, or you want to jump into our sleeper fight of the night at UFC 271, and then we'll jump into predictions?
Yeah, man, let's jump into our sleeper fight, bro. I mean, this card is pretty stacked.
Yeah, go ahead. Give us your sleeper fight of the night.
Let me pull it up real quick. I had it up. Oh, here we go. I'm going to go to the fight, man, you was talking about off air, man. I'm going with Alex Perez and William Snell, man. I think these two guys are going to put on a put on a hell of a show. Snell is what, 3-1-1 in his last five fights. I want to say Perez is actually. Let me see what he's sitting at. Perez is actually 3-2 in his last fight, losing to Benavidez and he's losing to Figueiredo. So I like this fight. Too bad that the winner of this fight probably going to have to take another fight. Probably have to fight. I think if Perez won this fight, he might have to fight Kai France as probably an eliminator fight. And I think if Snell wins this fight, he probably have to just win another fight, fight or two to be in the to get into the picture. But I like this fight, man. I like Alex Perez. This will probably be my first time watching Snell fight. But I want to see what these guys bring to the table. And both on BJJ is their fighting style. So I definitely want to see what these guys can do.
Cool. I'm liking overall I want to go with this William Knight and Maxim Grishin fight. This light heavyweight fight is the first fight on the regular prelims card. But I don't know enough about Maxim Grishin to really tell you why. So we're just going to go, I think I'm going to go early prelims. And we're going to go with this fight that we were talking about earlier that that we don't really know why it's on this card in the first place. Is the Alex Hernandez and Renato Moicano fight? Or is it Renato? Renato Moicano? Or I feel like it's Renato. Renato Moicano? Renato Moicano? I'm not sure. But
Renato Moicano.
Is it Renato? Okay. Alex Hernandez and Renato Moicano, I'm going to go with them. I think that's a banger. It's kind of ideal that it's on this card because it's easy for me to, you know, pick that out. It's like, all right, that's probably going to be a banger. And that's two fun guys to watch. I actually thought that – did Hernandez move down to 145? Or is Moicano moving up to 155? Because that's another thing that's interesting about this fight, because last time I checked, Alex Hernandez was a 55er and Moicano was a 45er. And it shows it that way on UFC.com too. So I'm wondering, is Moicano moving up or is Hernandez moving down? And either way, that makes this fight even more interesting. But, yeah, I'm going with this one. Hernandez has an interesting style. Moicano has an interesting style. He's a guy that a lot of us thought, you know, was right there for the title, you know, not too long ago. And he lost a couple fights. He lost to Aldo. I want to say he fought Aldo. He lost to Aldo. He lost to a few guys, you know, up at the top. And I'd be interested to see him try to climb his way back. I'm not sure if he's what division he's in at this point or what division this fight is in, but either way, I think it's definitely two guys that could easily put on a banger. So yeah, that's it right there. Hernandez and Moicano.
Yeah, this is a lightweight fight. I actually went back and looked at Hernandez. He actually been a lightweight. I think Moicano is the one that's been, maybe he was a bantamweight.
Moicano was a
he a featherweight.
Moicano was a featherweight because he fought Aldo.
Yeah.
I know Aldo is 35er now, but I know it wasn't – Aldo didn't fight him at 35. That was before Aldo went to 35.
Moicano is moving up.
Oh, wow. Okay, so this fight is even more interesting then because I didn't know he was moving up to 55. That's dope. Yeah, that fight's a banger then. That's pretty cool. I can understand why that's an interesting move for him. But I can understand, though. You know, he was at the top of the division. He lost a couple fights there, you know, to some really good guys, you know. It's not like he was losing fights that he definitely should have won. You know what I mean? It's like you're fighting Aldo. It's like I know people like to make it like Aldo isn't as good as he still is, but he is still very good. And, you know, you're at the top of 145. You know, you're fighting some – like the division isn't that deep. We were saying it the other day, but when Moicano's up there, he was fighting, like, you know, guys in the top five. When you get to the top five of 145, that's when you're fighting killers. And it's like, you know, you could lose to anybody in the top five.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think Moicano, I think this might be his final stretch in the UFC. So, hey, why not fight close to your walk-around weight? And hopefully your power translates. And maybe you can string together some wins. So, but this is a tough fight for him, man. Man, this is a tough fight for him. But I agree, this fight should be a banger, though.
And one more thing I just want to add, is a side point from that and the sleeper fights, but you mentioned before about Blon Brunson, and I started saying that about Blon Brunson. I mean, the UFC has started to say it too, but that's because they listen to our show. And so Blon Brunson, and also we forget that Blonde Oliveira. We forgot Oliveira dyed his hair. Oliveira is actually undefeated since going blonde too, and that's kind of crazy because I looked it up while you were talking about Blon Brunson. because I was like, wait, I swear there's at least like one other guy who has gone undefeated. And I was like, I think it's Oliveira. So, because he and then I looked it up. He dyed his hair blonde when he got Ferguson. So when they gave him the Ferguson contract, he dyed his hair blonde. And then since then, I mean, he beat Ferguson, he beat Chandler, and he beat Poirier. So yeah, I think he's fought three times since then, and he's been undefeated. And he's had he's had three really good performances. So yeah, blonde Oliveira, blonde Olive, and blonde Brunson. I think together they're like 8-0 or something like that with the blonde hair. So that's crazy.
Yeah, man, that's what they call that? A coincidence? A coinky dink? So blonde Oliver, blonde Brunson. So
man,
I think you coined the nickname blonde Brunson though.
Yeah, I definitely said that, and then the UFC all of a sudden started using that term. So it's, yeah, man, we already got the jump on them. We already understand what that's about, but you know, we don't even got to spend time on it. Where do you want to start with our predictions? I mean, you want to do the prelims, or you want to jump into the main card? Unless you want to pick the Alex Perez fight, we could pick that and then go into the main card.
All right, let's do this. We'll pick the winner of your sleeper fight, and then we'll pick the winner of my sleeper fight, and then we'll jump into the main card.
All right, cool.
So who you got winning between Hernandez and Moicano?
I'm gonna go with Moicano. I think. No, it's cool. I don't need to see the odds. I'm gonna go with Moicano. I think. Hernandez, he is tough, but I think, you know, the way he was marketed in the beginning kind of made him seem a lot better than he actually was. And I think Moicano with the extra weight, I think it'll help him a lot. You know, I think moving up will actually benefit Moicano a lot. And I think he'll get this fight to the ground, and he'll win this by submission probably in the second round. I'm gonna go Moicano second round submission.
And I'm going the other way, man. I'm going Alex Hernandez. I saw something today that he didn't like where their fight was placed at on the card. He was complaining they was on the early prelims. So my thing is, if you complaining about that, guess you got to do. You got to go out here and you got to put action behind your words. So I'm going to say he go out there and he put action behind his words. He doesn't get a finish, but he wins a split decision against Renato Moicano. So I like Alex Perez to win this fight. Alex Hernandez, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was like, I see what you were getting at. You were going about to pick. Go ahead. Do the Perez fight. Do your pick for the Perez fight.
Man, this one is hard, dog. This one is hard. But, man, Snell got like a 4.5-inch reach advantage, though. Man, what's the odds? -380 to +300. All right, man. I'm gonna go with Alex Perez in this fight, but I'm not too confident in that pick. I'm gonna say Alex Perez winning this fight. I'm gonna say by unanimous decision. I think this fight is going to be a banger. I really haven't seen Snell fight, but this 4.5 reach advantage does have me worried. But on looking at Perez's takedown accuracy, he's close to 50%. Man, I just like Perez to win a grappling match. So I'm going to take Alex Perez in a unanimous decision.
Yeah, I think I'm going the same way, Alex Perez. I think the difference maker here, I mean, two top flyweights, but I think the difference here, and two solid flyweights at that, but I think the difference here will be Perez's takedown defense. He has a much higher takedown defense, 87% to Chanel's 50, and then his own takedown accuracy is higher as well. I think he'll look to take this fight to the ground, and I think he'll land a lot of ground strikes, and those will add up there. The striking exchanges will be pretty solid. I think we'll have some pretty entertaining striking exchanges on the feet, but I think the difference maker will be Perez's takedowns and the strikes he lands on the ground, and I think he'll win this by unanimous decision.
All right, both of us got Perez. All right.
Cool, let's go. Main card, we got, let's see who we got first on the main card. Boom, we better make this happen. We got 14 minutes. All right, that's plenty of time. They said it couldn't happen, but it's going to happen. All right, we got this. Ready, Bobby Green versus Nasrat. I think I struggled saying his name the last time, too. Nasrat Haqparast.
Yeah.
Haqparast?
I think it's
Haqparast. Oh, the Q is silent.
Yeah.
The Q is silent?
I think this Q is silent, bro.
So it's Nasrat Haqparast. Okay. Yeah, okay. I got you. Nasrat Haqparast. So Bobby Green versus Nasrat Haqparast. Bobby Green's a -140 favorite. Nasrat's a +120. Who you got?
If anybody listens to this show or follow me on Twitter, they know that Bobby Green is my guy, man. Y'all know Bobby King Green is my guy. I like the way he fought in his last fight. He came out aggressive. He didn't wait. He didn't wait on his opponent to come out and, you know, he react or he counterpunch. He came out and he took the fight to his opponent. And I love that, because I think he has to be more aggressive starting fights, because as we all know, he has a bad record when it comes to getting decisions. Even in fights that he clearly wins, it seems like he loses on a decision. So, hey, I like Bobby Green in this fight. I don't think he knocks out Haqparast, but I think he dominates him. I got Bobby Green by unanimous decision in this fight.
Yeah, I think this is just looking at the stats. I mean, I've seen Nasrat fight before, but just even like looking at the stats, I mean, this is really close. This is actually a pretty dope matchup that they made. A lot of their numbers are really close. You know, Bobby Green's coming off a big win over Iaquinta. He knocked him out. Nasrat, I want to say, is coming off a loss to Dan Hooker. I think, you know, Bobby Green, we're going to have a striking affair here. I think just Bobby Green, one thing he'll have to worry about is Nasrat's power. I think to not get clipped will be the big thing in this fight. But, you know, if you watch Bobby Green's fights, you know that, you know, he's not scared to take a punch, and he could definitely take a big shot and keep going. You know, we've seen him take a lot of big shots and keep going. We've seen him take a lot of shots and go on to fight, you know, for another 15 minutes. So, yeah, I think Bobby Green will weather the early storm, and cruise this one probably. Yeah, probably to unanimous decision.
Okay.
And our next fight, we got, let's see, who we got here? We have Kyler Phillips and Marcelo Rojo. Maybe it's Rojo. Might be Rojo or Rojo?
I think it's Rojo, yeah.
Yeah, Rojo. Okay. So, I want to say I've seen Kyler Phillips. I feel like he's a contender series guy. I want to say he's a contender series guy, Kyler Phillips. Marcelo Rojo. I'm not too familiar with these guys, but, I mean, just based on the stats, 9-2, 16-8, and this is a 135 fight. It almost seems like this is Marcelo's maybe first fight in the UFC, because they don't have his leg reach and arm reach listed on UFC.com. They usually do that when it's someone's debut. They don't have all the stats yet. I'd probably go with Kyler Phillips to win this fight. Just off of, that's not really based off of too much. I really haven't seen too much footage of either one of these guys. I'm vaguely familiar with Kyler Phillips, but I'm really not too well versed to be able to explain to you why. But just based off the stats, I mean, I think Kyler Phillips has the striking edge here, and he has the power advantage. He just got to watch. It looks like he probably got to watch out for the early submission from Rojo, and I think if he can steer clear of the mat, I think he can make this one happen. I'm gonna say Kyler Phillips gets. We're gonna go with the key special on this one, the third round TKO.
Yeah, I'm looking at Rojo's. This will be his second fight in the UFC. He lost his first fight by knockout to Jordan in the third round. I think normally when they are putting a fight like this on the main card, they are hyping somebody as the next star. And I think the person they're hyping as the next star is Kyler Phillips. Because like we used to preach back in the day, the best way to get people on board with somebody you think is going to be a future star is about how you book them. And I think they're booking Kyler Phillips as being the next star by making him the second fight of the main card. So I'm going to go with you with this. I'm going with Kyler Phillips to win this fight. I'm going to go second round KO. Then Kyler Phillips makes quick work of Rojo in his second fight in the UFC. And the UFC you'll probably hear a lot of positive things about Kyler Phillips during the broadcast. Some people probably even say that it's going to be probably a biased commentating booth, but I think he's going to make sure that he put on a good show. So I'm going with Kyler Phillips, second round knockout.
Cool. All right, so we got the next one. We got your boy, number three ranked middleweight, Jared Cannonier versus number four ranked middleweight, Derek Brunson. First of all, I love this fight because it's number three versus number four. The exact types of matchups that I like, that Keys likes to see. All right, I'm going to go first on this one. This is a very simple prediction for me. I'm going with Derek Brunson to win this. I think he just looked spectacular lately. His wrestling, he's just been – this is such a, like, perfect matchup for Derek Brunson because Cannonier is not going to be able to handle the wrestling, most likely. He is a minus 165 favorite. But, I mean, of course, yeah, does he have the power to knock out Derek Brunson? Of course he does. But, you know, we all know Cannonier was a heavyweight at one point in time, and he has crazy power. Obviously, he's dangerous, but I just don't think he's going to be able to handle the wrestling pedigree of Derek Brunson. Brunson's going to look to take him down, weather the storm in the first round, take him down, and he's going to get this one. I'd say probably, yeah, unanimous decision for Derek Brunson, and then he fights for the title after that.
Yeah, I like Brunson in this fight. I like Brunson in this fight also. Brunson has to be careful in this fight. Cannonier does have power. Cannonier can put him to sleep. So I look for Brunson to come out, probably fight at distance, which will probably be very, very smart. Cannonier, he won his last fight against Gastelum, but I don't really think he won it in, like, convincing fashion. Cannonier has a half-inch reach advantage, but I think Brunson's wrestling is going to be too much, man. I like Brunson dominating him on the mat. I think he takes him down, and I think Cannonier he won't be able to get back to his feet. So I like Derek Brunson to win this fight. I'm going to go with the key special, man. Derek Brunson, third round knockout.
Special never fails, man. All right, let's go. Co-main event, Number 3 ranked heavyweight Derek Lewis is a minus 180 favorite versus number 11 Tai Tuivasa is a plus 155. This is like an absolute massive leapfrog that Tai Tuivasa could do over pretty much the entire top 15 if he were to beat Derek Lewis. He would literally launch himself into the title picture with a win here. Probably launch himself to the number 3 spot from number 11, which is absolutely crazy. But that doesn't mean it's impossible. And, yeah, you want to go ahead and predict this one? You want me to get it first? I know I got the last one.
You can go ahead.
All right, cool. So I'm going to put it to you like this. I was saying this the other day. I don't know if it was on our show or if I was just talking to somebody the other day. But I was just saying that, you know, sometimes I think I come off as a Derek Lewis hater. I'm not a Derek Lewis hater. I just wish he would do more. Now, I wish he would be more dedicated to the game. Now, I wish he would stay on top of, like, you know, his diet leading up to fights and just in his life. I wish he would work harder on his cardio. I wish, you know, he could work on his footwork. You know, there's a lot of things I wish he would try to work to improve because I know he could be a lot better. You know what I mean? That's the thing. So I'm not a Derek Lewis hater, but I want to see him work harder. You know what I mean? That's really what it is. And sometimes I feel like he kind of shows, like, neglect towards, like, working harder. He kind of seems careless sometimes. And it's like, you know, some people love that, but for me, that kind of turns me away as a fan. It's like, you don't really seem to care. You know what I mean? And then I'm not really into that. So this one, though, I mean, I think Derek Lewis, he has a home game. He had the home game versus Gane, and he lost. Some say the pressure was too much. I mean, I don't really think it was the pressure. I think Gane is just a really good fighter. But maybe he was pressured. Then he goes, he fought Dawkins. He knocked him out in the first round. Now he has a home game again. Derek Lewis could very well win this fight, but, you know, this is heavyweight. I mean, Tuivasa is a very heavy hitter, too. This one is kind of just like a fight that I kind of need to just, like, close my eyes and pick somebody because, really, either one of us could be wrong with our picks, like, because these guys are just both such heavy hitters that either one of them could go out at any point. Like, it's really – This is really anybody's fight. Like, of any fight on the card, this is probably, to me, the biggest toss-up on this entire card because these two dudes are crazy heavyweights. But either way, I got to pick somebody. I'm going to go with Tai Tuivasa. Tuivasa, you know, has the better footwork. I think his movement overall is a good amount better than that of Derek Lewis. And, I like the way he picks his shots. You know what I mean? I like that he throws a bit more volume and he doesn't just really wait for that one shot. You know, he tries to put volume on his opponents. And I think that is what will get him the win here. I think Tuivasa, I don't think it'll be like, you know, a one punch knockout. I think it'll probably be a TKO. I think he might overwhelm Derek Lewis, kind of like how Gane was able to do. And Tuivasa, I'm going to go, man, I think I'm going to go second round TKO for Tuivasa. Probably late in the second round.
Man, this is a tough fight to pick, man. Derek Lewis fighting at home, he didn't look good against Gane. So basically, he's fighting at home once again.
He looked terrible against Gane.
Yeah.
He looked good against Gane, but he looked terrible against Gane, though.
Yeah, but Gane can make any heavyweight look bad because of his athleticism.
That's what I was trying to say. The UFC is trying to, like, say – the UFC is trying to say that Derek Lewis fighting at home, like, pressured him, and that's why, like, he had a bad performance. But I was just saying that I don't necessarily think it was that. I think Gane is just really good. You know what I'm saying?
We don't got to discount Gane
by saying Derek Lewis just like had an off night. Like, we don't got to do that. Like, Gane's still really good.
Yeah, but
Go ahead. My bad. I totally agree.
I just think Gane was his athleticism was just he just brought something to the table that Derek Lewis wasn't prepared for it, but I think Tuivasa doesn't bring that to the table. I think Tuivasa is a true heavyweight. But one thing about Derrick Lewis is he normally don't have a lot of output, whereas I think Tuivasa does. I just think Derrick Lewis doesn't lose twice in a row at home. I think he finds a way to pull it out. Both heavyweights, both got knockout power. Derrick Lewis can close the show late in some fights, sometimes at the last second. I'm going to go opposite of you, man. I'm going Derrick Lewis, second round knockout, man. I think he catches Ty. Probably, you know, Ty might throw a punch, he miss. Derrick Lewis ducks, boom, right hook or something like that. I think it's going to be a shot that Ty doesn't see coming. But I also agree with you that this fight could slingshot Ty Tuivasa possibly into the top seven, maybe even the top five. So this is a big fight for Ty Tuivasa, but I'm going to go with Derrick Lewis winning second-round knockout.
And honestly, this next one is an easy one for me, too. I'm not going to really need to do too much. I mean, I could sit here and break it down for you. I could take a couple of minutes, but I'm pretty firm in my pick here. I mean, I think that, you know, I'm going with Robert Whittaker. I think, you know, he's a better overall fighter. He's a more complete MMA fighter. And I know what they say, not always does the better, more complete fighter win. I understand that, you know, 100%. But I just think here, you know, being that he already lost to Adesanya and he had time to reflect on why he lost and, you know, what was wrong in his approach to that fight, I think, you know, he comes into this one a lot more level-headed. I don't think he fights emotional here. I think, you know, he's going to fight his fight here, and I think that's going to be the difference maker. You know, Robert Whittaker is going to, you know, if he's going to come in here like he fought, you know, Cannonier, his last fight. He's going to fight, I think Cannonier was his last fight. He's going to come in here and show us a lot of what he's been doing lately, you know, and he's been shooting for takedowns more. You know, he's changing his style. You know, we see him throwing kicks. We see him, you know, with the feints. Like, Whittaker is doing a lot more. He's doing a lot more right now. He's clearly evolved, you know, since their last fight. And, you know, Adesanya, I feel like, has not evolved. You know, I feel like he was already a great striker, you know, their last fight, you know what I'm saying? And I don't see where he has improved since then. And I see many places where Whittaker has improved since then. And I just think as long as Whittaker fights his fight, you know, he goes in, you know, he's not emotional, which I don't think he will be, you know, mix it up on Izzy, you know, he let him think you're going to throw strikes to the head, shoot low, let him think you're going to shoot low, throw a head kick. Like, and I think Whittaker can do that, you know, really confuse him. You know, that's the way, if I'm Whittaker, that's the way I'm coming into this fight. Try to confuse him. Don't let him know what exactly it is you're trying to do. You know what I mean? Make it like, you know, you might gesture to shoot low, but then you throw a kick to the body, but make sure your chin's not open. You know, do things in a smart way, but do them in a unpredictable way. You know, I think if Whittaker brings that style that he's been fighting with, the way he fought Cannon there, I think he gets this one and gets his belt back. Rob Whittaker, you know, two-time UFC middleweight champion. And I think he wins the fight. My bad, I almost forgot to tell you. My gut says it's a decision. My gut says he would win by, like, a majority decision or something like that. You know, I want to say Whittaker by majority decision. That's my gut. But I'm going to go with a fun pick, and I'm going to say Whittaker takes the fight into the championship rounds, and he TKOs Adesanya with a head kick in the fourth round.
Okay. This was actually an easy fight for me to pick, too. I just can't get the Blachowicz fight out of my head. Blachowicz did some things to Izzy that I think when we picked that fight that came to be true. If you wrestle Izzy, he has a problem getting off his back. I think Bobby can bring some of those things, incorporate some of those things into his fight plan. I think he's not going to be as wild as he was in that first fight. I think Whitaker has learned a lot about himself and his fighting style since that loss to Israel Adesanya. What has Israel really learned from his fights? The Yoel Romero fight was a snoozer. To me, he really hasn't had, like, a title defense that basically made me say he's that guy. So, I like Bobby. I like what he can do. He's not going to be too the spotlight isn't going to be too big. The moment not going to be too big. So I like Whitaker to win this fight, man. I like Whitaker to come out and probably feel Adesanya out in the first round, and then start incorporating his game plan into the second, third, fourth rounds. I think that. I wouldn't be surprised if Bobby Whitaker wins this fight 4-1 in a unanimous decision. So I got Bobby Whitaker winning this fight by unanimous decision.
All right. I mean, we both got Whitaker in the main event, getting his title back. We both got Blahm Brunson probably becoming the number one contender. And we both got Bobby Green winning by finish. So that's how we run it. I think we picked the same 3 out of 5. 2 of them were different, so that was cool. You know, that's a change up from some of our recent picks. I know we've had a lot of the same picks, but there was a little bit of diversity in here tonight, so that was cool. And I'm locked in, bro. I'm really, really locked in for Adesanya versus Whitaker. This is a hell of a fight. And I really like the middleweight division, man. It's a fun division, man. I love watching all the middleweight fights. You know what I'm saying? This division is just a fun division. It really is. And I'm looking forward to this card. It's about to be a banger. So, you know, thank you all for listening to our show. That was a tongue twister. Thank you all for listening. And looking forward to UFC 271 this weekend. Try to buy the pay-per-view if you can. Don't stream the fight. If you can, if you do, it's all good. But either way, I mean, I always try to support. Even if I go to a bar and watch it, the bar is paying to have that on their TVs, and they have a partnership deal. So, you know, I like to try to support in some organic way. But either way, it is what it is. Do what you got to do. Watch the fight. It's gonna be excellent. And then thank you all for listening. That's all I got. Lee, the floor is yours.
Yeah, this weekend is Super Bowl weekend, so. Friday night, we got the Super Bowl preview show with me and my special guest host, T-Dub. That'll be Friday at 9 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Mountain Time. We'll be doing that Friday night. This is a big weekend, man. This is a big sports weekend, man. You got UFC 271 Saturday. You got Super Bowl Sunday. And, fellas, don't forget Valentine's Day is Monday. So, hey, this is a super dope weekend. Hey, everybody have a good time. Be safe. I know a lot of places are lifting the mandates, you know, as far as wearing masks and stuff. I still practice my social distancing, and I'm going to do that probably Saturday when I go out and watch the fight. I might just watch the fight from home, actually, because I think I'm going to go out and watch the Super Bowl, so I'll probably stay home Saturday. But everybody have fun, man. Be safe. Enjoy the fights. And me and Keys will be back next Wednesday to break it down, do a review. What happened at the pay-per-view. So, everybody take care. And as always, we always end the show with a peace.